been a bit of a dark week, hasn't it?
Amen.
Here we have Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. This isn't the first time we've heard this I am statement. We heard it from Jesus a couple weeks ago as we read about the healing of the man born blind. But in the scripture, in the order of the Bible, that's not the first time Jesus makes that statement. It's here in our passage today. And Jesus is speaking to a crowd at the temple in Jerusalem, a crowd that included Pharisees and other Jewish leaders who disputed his claim, relying on legal technicalities to argue with him. And while that certainly shows the spiritual blindness that Jesus points out in them after healing the blind man, a few verses later, Jesus' claim to be the light of the world is focused differently here. And in order to understand this, we need to look at the context in which Jesus makes this claim. This was a new revelation for me this week as I prepared our sermon. Jesus has spent the night on the Mount of Olives before returning to teach at the temple in Jerusalem. And as he's teaching, a group of religious leaders forces their way through the crowd that had packed in around Jesus, dragging a woman along beside them. And they push her down in the center of the crowd. And standing over her, they say to Jesus, "This woman was caught in the act of adultery, and Moses' law teaches that she should be put to death by stoning. What do you have to say about this?" Notice that although the law required that both the man and the woman caught in adultery be put to death, only the woman's captured and shamed in this way. These leaders were testing Jesus. Because if he said stone her, they would proclaim horror at his lack of compassion. And if he said the law was wrong, they would bring him before the high priest for denying the law. Now we have him, they must have thought. But instead of responding as they assumed, Jesus knelt and began writing on the ground with his finger. The religious leaders looked at him and then looked at each other in confusion and back at him with disdain. What in the world was this man doing? So they repeated their question with louder, angrier voices. And this time, Jesus did answer them. The one who has done no wrong should be the first to throw a stone at her. And then he began writing on the ground again. Pharisees looked at each other again, but this time they quickly looked away, and one at a time, beginning with the oldest of them, the men dropped their stones and walked away. And soon they were all gone, and the woman was left there alone in a crowd with Jesus. Jesus looked at her quietly, said, "Woman, where are the ones who were accusing you? Is there no one who finds fault with you?" For the first time, the woman raised her head, tear streaks running down her dusty face. "No one, Rabbi." And Jesus, with eyes full of love, said, "Then neither do I condemn you. Go. Sin no more." I've been reading in the First Nations version of Scripture recently. It is a translation done by the Indigenous peoples of North America. And I love in that translation, this verse says, "Go, but take care not to keep following this broken way you have been on." Powerful words from the one who later will say, "I am the way."
So after the woman left, the crowd closed in around Jesus again, waiting to hear what he would say. And he looked around at them and at the Pharisees, who were now on the outer edges of the crowd, and said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I'm about to tell by myself that my poor housekeeping skills, but I'm hoping some of you can relate. Have you ever been walking through your home when a ray of sunlight comes through a window and hits a surface and exposes this layer of dust or grime on a surface that you thought was fairly clean? Just say yes to make me feel better. That's the type of light that Jesus is describing here. You see, Jesus' words, "I am the light of the world," are first spoken to those who question it and condemn it, to those who refuse it and reject it. He first speaks those words to those who, even if they don't know it, need to hear it the most. Jesus is the light of the world, and light exposes people and systems and institutions that have used darkness to hide what they don't want to be seen. It's light that shines in the lives of those who've only known darkness. When we read scripture, we're often tempted to place ourselves in the place of the sympathetic characters. So in this case, we might want to think of ourselves as the woman caught in adultery. Yes, we acknowledge we've sinned, but look at how Jesus responds to us with love and grace. And there's nothing wrong with that, truly, because Jesus does welcome us and forgive us. In John's gospel, judgment isn't something that Jesus came to do. "I came not to condemn the world, but to save it," he says. Judgment in this gospel is determined by ourselves, by whether or not we choose to believe in Jesus, to turn our hearts toward Jesus. Condemnation comes not from Jesus, but from our own response to the gospel. But I fear that rather than being the woman, we often play the role of the religious leaders in this story. Now, we may not drag others to church in order to stone them to death. I hope not. But we're often quick to judge, aren't we? To attribute bad motives to others. To turn away from another's pain, all without recognizing the sin in our own lives. Jesus is the light of the world, and one of the things that light does is to illuminate all the corners of our own hearts where darkness is living. Sometimes we choose to keep the light out because we know all about where that darkness is hiding. We don't want anyone else to see it. Sometimes we put ourselves deeper into darkness. We stand with our eyes shut tight and our hands over our eyes pressed tight against them, like children who believe if we can't see something, it doesn't exist. But it does. It exists in us. We fail to love God, to love ourselves, love others, sometimes intentionally, and sometimes because we are lured away from love by lesser things. Jesus is the light of the world, offering hope to those darkness threatens to overcome. The darkness of war in Ukraine and other places around the world, the darkness of suffering caused by others, the darkness of illness and of grief, the darkness caused by our own failure to see. But darkness cannot overcome the light. The woman in our story, whose name we never know, had both the darkness of judgment and the darkness of her own sinfulness chased away by the light. And as for those religious leaders, for just a moment, they allowed the light to illuminate their own sinfulness. They dropped their stones and they walked away. Soon, though, they were back to darkness, blinded by their pride and even by their religious devotion, their sure belief that they were right, refusing to believe who Jesus was, refusing to turn their hearts to Jesus. So often, we hear that we're loved, but we struggle to receive it. We err on the side of fear and judgment rather than faith and love. We see the darkness in the world and think that nothing can make it better. We choose darkness instead of light. We hear that there is eternal life and abundant life here and now, but we refuse to believe it, or at least to live like we do. But the good news, the gospel news, is that we don't have to be like those religious leaders who refused to see the light of the world and what it was revealing in them. We can choose to remove our hands from our eyes, to open our eyes wide so that we may see clearly, live fully, and serve freely.